down the road, I've got my town. The radio is turned to KROX. Let's go, 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 let's go.
And away we go. Happy Thursday, everybody. The beginning of the weekend in Austin, Texas.
Yes, very excited, because yesterday we ended the show thinking it was Thursday. And as we walked out the door, just the depression that hit that it was still Wednesday. But now it is Thursday.
Woo! Woo-hoo!
And my day at work started off very, very bizarre with what I'll call a shady dumpster deal. Did you see when you were walking in that all the kids, as I call them, all of our team,
our little promo kids were out there. They're getting ready for the big tailgate that's going on tomorrow, Scottish Rite Theater.
Saturday. It's not Friday, dude.
Son of a bitch, I did it again.
Daylight savings messing with this man.
I guess so.
But yeah, so they're out there. They're packing all the tailgate stuff up, the games, the kegs, and Evan comes to me and he goes, "Hey man, is this yours?" And I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "Hey, come here. And I follow him behind the dumpsters, which is a shady area to be because it's like between our generators.
Back
by the generator and all the, like, it's, sure. it's if there were ever a shady area to do a dumpster deal in a building, it would be right there. It's very industrial, very like private. It's out of view of the cameras. I'm like, "What is he?" And he's like, "Hey man, is this yours?" And then he pulls this out. He pulls a broken sword out of a sheath and asks me if this is my sword that he found sitting propped up next to the dumpster. And I said, "No, I don't know. It's clearly the tang is broke on it. It's missing the hilt. It's not sharp, so it's definitely like a prop sword and whatnot. But it's decent quality, decent weight on it. So now I've got a brand new sword, thanks to our coworker Evan.
That
found a sword behind our dumpsters.
The best part about this building is not. I mean, partially one of the best things is that our business is in an area of the city where a sword that was probably used to kill somebody can just wind up behind a dumpster. But that's not the
very
best
true,
part. The
true.
Best part is if you find a murder weapon, the first person anyone's going to ask, "Hey, is this yours?" is you.
Yeah.
I really enjoy you being my co-host.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Why exactly is today the greatest? Well, because today is Veterans Day, the annual holiday observed every November 11th, honoring military veterans who served in the United States Armed Forces. I think we all know that. I think we'll all take to the internet to, you know, commemorate, celebrate, say hello to friends, family members who served. But I'm not sure if a lot of people know the actual history behind Veterans Day.
Oh, as to why we're recognizing veterans?
Yes. It actually started as Armistice Day.
Sure.
Which, of course, was the essential end to the horrific World War I, which they called the war to
end all wars. Guess what? It didn't work, everybody.
Unfortunately, it did not at all. So
we got right back into it.
In 1926, the United States Congress adopted a resolution requesting that President Calvin Coolidge issue annual proclamations calling for the observance of November 11th with appropriate ceremonies. In 1945, a veteran named Raymond Weeks had the idea to expand Armistice Day to all veterans, not just those who died in World War I. General Eisenhower supported the idea and pushed for the idea, and the first national celebration took place in 1947. In 1954, the holiday was signed into law and more officially became known as Veterans Day, which we celebrate to this day. And Matt, I don't know how many veterans you have in your family, but I've got some fun facts about one of my grandfathers who served in the Army from the time he was 14 until he was, I think, in his late 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of my family would be veterans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like no. my father, his father, my mother's father, my Father's brothers-in-law, but both of them were deceased during Vietnam. My wife's father was 101st Airborne, and he was the most highly decorated out of the whole family.
We call someone who was in the S.
Yeah, he was definitely. He did multiple tours, and very highly decorated. Unfortunately, when he returned, he did not return as a human being, really, and never fully recovered, if you will.
Which is one of the big tragedies in our countries. We don't take care of those who serve us.
We tried our best. Mentally, he was filled with some anger, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And that anger kind of showed itself in some difficult ways. But we tried to make him comfortable. I will say, I mean, it's one of those things. My kids never really knew him because he was kind of cruel. But we saved all the stuff because I want them to know that that's still part of the story where they came from. He just passed away a few weeks ago, and going through his stuff is pretty remarkable when you see what this 18, 19, 20-year-old kid, if you want to use that term.
I mean, pretty much.
Went through, and then wrong. To see the amount of hardware that was awarded to him, it's pretty
impressive. It
tells the whole tale, because otherwise, if you knew him at the end of his life, you just knew him to be mean and a substance guy. But he intended to do well.
We dealt with the VA so much when I was younger, but yeah. My grandfather had a chest of stuff, and he would give me things every now and then.
That's cool, isn't
like
it, when you were a kid?
Ribbons, or, you know, I think I still have one of his purple hearts, but when he finally passed away, his daughter, my dad's sister, took everything, even though it was willed to me, took
really?
It all to North Carolina. They stole everything.
Oh, man, that's not
cool. It was
cool.
A bummer. But to kind of lighten it up, I got some fun facts about my grandfather.
Can't wait to hear them.
I'm assuming these are true. My grandmother was known to embellish, but my dad says most of it is. Fun fact, at 6'10", 350 pounds, First Sergeant Rodney Morgan was the largest man in the U.S. Armed Forces during the 1950s and 60s.
Wait, and that's your grandfather?
Yeah. He's a different grandfather. He served as a recruiter for the Army until retirement in the 90s. The 14-year-old giant lied about his age and enlisted at the tail end of World War II. He served in Germany, Vietnam, and Korea, and he has a couple of Purple Hearts. One of them was basically he was in the motor pool, and he was in the back of a vehicle and got snagged on some wire and was ripped off and fell and hung.
That hurts my nutsack.
This one, I don't know how true this is, but allegedly one of his Purple Hearts comes from being stabbed in a bar fight. He allegedly killed the man with one punch. And, of course, sadly, he never really told me any of these stories. He hated talking about the Army. The only thing he said about it when I was asked why he would never come to any of my ROTC drill meets was to never enlist in the military.
Yeah.
That was his advice to me as a longtime soldier and recruiter.
I will say that with my whole family serving, and zero disrespect to those who are in right now and maybe hearing whatever, but that was the message from my family, Vietnam was pretty cruel to my family.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of across the board said, your family's done its service for a while. Y'all go to do something else.
Y'all go to school.
But hats and tilts to the dudes out there doing it. And I'm sorry, I said dudes, but let's be fair to the people.
Everyone, yeah.
To the people out there doing it.
Today is the greatest because it is Veterans Day, and we salute you.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Hey, it's time for Spentertainment. Let's go ahead and let Spencer out of the producer's dungeon. Hey, Spencer.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing today?
Doing all right.
What you got for us?
I got a couple new sounders for a parent pickup I wanted to give you guys a sample of.
Parent pickup is actually a segment we do next. It's kind of done in the with parents in a pickup line, picking up their kids with them in mind. It's broad. It's for everybody.
My mind, it's me picking up single parents,
there you
especially
go.
Broads.
Yeah. Hey, they're not called broads. That's gross. They're called MILFs.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Either way, you know, Cougars. I'm all for it.
What's up, ladies? We know you're already waiting in that line. Mm-hmm. What's up, girls? Yeah. What's up, ladies?
Play one for us.
SUV.
So we got some fancy intros to parent pickup.
Yeah.
Let's
play
the
first one. Play the first one.
Version number one.
Yeah.
That's the gist of it. Second one, almost exactly the same.
I like that a lot. Bang. I just feel like it needs a title, like to say The Parent Pickup or something like that. You know,
the only thing I'm worried about is, were those horror screams in the background? Was somebody murdering the children?
It's just a rush. It's hustling. They're moving quick. Okay, let's check out version number two.
Right, version number two.
More of like an educational like video sounds.
I guess. I mean, it sounds like a game a kid might play on an iPad. So that kind of works.
Frog games.
Well, as per the rules, thank you very much for doing both of these. Matt, does Spinner stay or does he go?
For those who maybe you're here for the first time, if Spencer does entertain us, he's allowed to stick around outside of the
producer dungeon.
Thank you.
For a little bit.
For one more segment.
No, you can stick around sometimes longer than that. I'm going to tell you what. I'm on the edge of being happy. I'm feeling generous. Spencer, you are allowed to stay outside of the dungeon.
Woo!
Good to have you with us.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Circuit of the Americas is keeping, I'm sorry, Circuit of the Americas wants to keep a holiday tradition alive, make Christmas fantastic for families and terrible for boyfriends. This is your parent pickup item of the day. I'll get into it and explain. This debuted last year. They had a thing called Peppermint Parkway.
Ooh.
Drive through the lights.
Mm.
It's similar to the long-time tradition of, the Zilker lights that happen. And it's a one-mile display of lights, music, and joy, they say. It runs from November 26th, which is right there at Thanksgiving, all the way through December 26th. 6 million lights. Some poor soul has to put all that stuff up, and my prayers to that team. And they even have mascots. I get this. Are you ready for the mascots' names?
Yeah, tell me.
Pepper and Mint.
Mint? Oh.
Jesus. This is the kind of thing that every dad's going to be dragged to, but
boyfriends as well. You're absolutely right.
No, you don't even know what that's about yet. They've got a little tram. You can get down there in a tram. Open air tram will take you through the whole thing. They've got some returning villages from last year. They're actually adding two new villages to explore. One's called Wonderland.
Wonderland.
I can't make, what is that? O-N-E, Wonderland. It's a whimsical world, they say. It's illuminated mushrooms, so it'd be a fun place to go and not be sober. They probably don't want me saying that, do they? Twinkle Trail is out there as well. Golden Lights, I don't know. This is all good stuff for, you know, taking some photos, stuff like that. Race fans can actually enjoy Candy Cane Cruise. It's an exclusive opportunity to take your own car for a parade lap on COTA's world-famous almost three and a half mile
after, of course, enjoying
Formula One track.
Some mushrooms and those lights.
They're probably not going to allow that. But that's definitely some bait to get some of us out there. And they got all kinds of stuff. The cool thing, too, is they got a bunch of rides out there. A place where they can write letters to Santa, you know, a bunch of stuff. It's going to be fun. They had something they tried a couple years ago, was not great, did not get great reviews. They went back to the drawing board. I had some friends that went out last year and said it was a really good time. Here is where they are ruining it for
us,
boyfriends, and why they hate boyfriends. Yeah. New this year is the mistletoe kissing booth, where guests can share a kiss with loved ones for an unforgettable photo op. That is girlfriend bait, and every boyfriend's going to be forced to go stand out there in a long line, and then you know that everybody else in the line is watching you have to do kisses with your girl, and she's all snuggled up and in love with you, and you're like, ugh, and she's like, stop being that way, be in love with me, and you're like, ugh.
Simple. Just cut and bite your lip a little bit so it looks like you have a cold sore. No one's going to want to kiss you after that. Boom. You're out of it. You're free.
There you go. You solved the problem, I guess. Anyway, you can get more information at, I believe, PeppermintParkway.com. This is not an ad for them, so I don't care if that's right or wrong.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
A math tutor has raked in over a million views on Pornhub by teaching calculus wearing nothing but a hoodie. Actually wears other clothes. It's not just the hoodie. No nudity. This is not some sort of new fetish thing, nor is it a Pornhub marketing gimmick. A math teacher just racking up the views on Pornhub doing nothing but teaching calculus.
Really?
Yeah. Shun Wei Cheng, 34, who goes by the stage name Cheng Shu, is a Taiwanese math teacher who runs a Pornhub account with over 7,000 subscribers. The channel is fronted by a cheeky play hard, study hard slogan, according to Vice. It contains hundreds of videos of him explaining calculus. His videos have racked up almost, 2 million views in total, making him a successful, fully closed content creator in a space dominated by TNA, of course.
This is dude.
It's a dude.
I thought it was like some like a sexy lady teacher or something.
No, it's exactly what you would think a Taiwanese math teacher looks like. The titles of his videos are obviously purposely porn related key terms such as naked, giant boobs, threesome, oral, etc., so on and so forth. A calculated move he made to make sure his videos would appear in as many searches as possible. The move to Pornhub, though, wasn't just him being, this is going to be fun, this is going to be goofy, this is going to be funny. Apparently, it came out of desperation, as Chang had a tutoring business, and he hired a few teachers who then left and started their own business, taking away a lot of his students. And then COVID came, his business collapsed, he ended up $30,000 in debt, he was contemplating suicide. He relaunched his business as an online tutoring business, still had no trouble, nothing he did marketing-wise was working, and then he made the radical decision to move to Pornhub, where he has since gone viral. The good news, the good ending to this story, Chang said he's seen unprecedented traffic to his teaching material, as well as students actually purchasing courses on his website. And guess what? He has paid off that debt, alas, all thanks to teaching calculus on Pornhub.
I will say every single problem has the exact same answer.
In calculus, what would that be?
In his classes.
Okay, what is that?
69. 69.
Yeah.
69, everybody.
This is just the latest, I guess, in a series of Pornhub videos that have gone viral for not being porn. Because there's the guy that does...
Ryan Creamer?
Is that him, the one that does the wholesome content?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that one's great. There's a few others. Unfortunately, I can't pull them up at work.
Why not?
We get blocked in here, and then occasionally when stuff does come up, we'll get an email about it. So I wanted to find some of those. But the old hub blocked at Waterloo Media, which is shameful because we are we're a media company, and we're just doing research.
I know a way around it. You should have just asked me.
Is it to use Nextdoor's Wi-Fi? Yeah. Okay, I'll have to find that.
Yeah, it can be done.
But you got to be careful because
don't let the secret out.
The IT guys still know. Because once upon a time, a coworker deep in the core of our intranet buried a folder called CJ's Porn, and it was all me shirtless, and I got in trouble for it. I got an email about it, and I was like, no, dude, I didn't do that. I promise I did. Like, why would I hide a folder filled with me shirtless called CJ's Porn? But they found that. It was actually corporate that found it, and then they had our IT guy, Brian, contact me. This was a couple of years ago, but...
Yeah, we don't even work for that company anymore.
I know.
Who cares?
Okay, well...
Live a little.
Hey, let's go do some exploring, right?
Let's do it, baby. Let's go on the C Drive.
101X, Matt and CJ.
Let's get crypto! Every Thursday, Matt and I are going to make a bet, $5. We're going to pour it into some kind of... cryptocurrency, we don't know. We're just going to pick them off random names or whatever and then see who makes the most money.
That's right.
And this week, you are ready to start or should we cancel this forever?
No, I'm ready.
Okay, you did. You downloaded some kind of platform to
buy. I'm using a platform called Coinbase.
Okay.
And ask me what I know about Coinbase.
Tell me what you know about Coinbase.
It is an app that I put on my phone.
Okay, cool.
That is the extent of it. I have no earthly idea. They asked for a ton of information. I'm pretty sure the FBI is going to come to my door at any moment just by having this on my phone, and I'm panicked about it.
Indeed. Well, I got it on mine, so you and I will rot in jail together.
Oh, great. I feel good about that.
Making millions of cents in crypto.
I don't even know we're going to make millions of cents. We'll see how it goes.
I mean, I'm still up a buck from my investments so far.
That's great.
Yeah. This week I bought Chills just because it looked like chili. And I'm kind of craving a chili dog from
Silver Metal. Give me some background. I want to know what it is and what it's about.
Chills, or CHZ, is an Ethereum token that powers Socios.com, a platform that lets traders trade tokens to show their support for...
Do you know what any of that is?
You are a huge name.
I need help. What are tokens?
Oh, my God! I don't care!
What are trades?
Things that you... if you go to a...
That's a lot of stuttering. I don't think you know what you're doing.
You go to Dave and Buster's and you want to play a game, you got to have a certain amount of tokens to do so.
I am stunned at how little I know. Everything that I've ever learned in my life tells me not to be doing this with you.
It was your idea.
I know, because I wanted...
But we are. Here we are.
It's kind of fun rolling the dice. Here's what I decided to do. Originally, we talked a little bit about going and looking for the weirdest names.
Yeah.
Here's what I've decided to do each week, how I want to approach this.
Okay. It's your choice.
Sure. Or should I not tell you my betting strategy?
I'm not going to steal yours. I mean, I think it's interesting to know. I clearly have mine, which is just to find a goofy-looking name like Polkadot, Chills, or Shiba Inu.
Right.
My investment so far.
You noticed that I said betting strategy, because what I'm doing is pure gambling. I know nothing about what's happening. I don't even understand where I'm putting my money right now. This is, by definition, gambling.
Hey, really quick, did you use my promo code I sent you to sign up for Coinbase?
Nope.
Oh, cool. Thanks. We both would have got $10 free. So I'm glad you didn't.
No, I used a different listener, and he and I both got $10 free.
Oh, cool. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Wow.
Yeah, there's a guy that runs an afternoon show across town, and I gave him the credit. Is that cool?
Sure, fine.
Here is my strategy. I've decided that every day during this moment is when I'm going to make my purchase.
Okay.
And here is how I'm going to choose my purchase.
Okay.
On Coinbase, I can go to trade. That's where you make the purchases, I'm guessing. I still haven't purchased a coin or anything. Is that what I do? I go to the bottom down here and I see where it says...
You hit trade, go to see all, and then you'll just have a list of tradables.
Okay.
A lot of stuff on here. You can scroll for a minute.
Okay, and I can buy, I don't have to go to the buy section, I can go to the trade section, okay? Mm-hmm. And then I have decided then, when I do that, if you go across the top of the tab, there's a thing that says losers, and those are the biggest losers of the day.
Yes.
And whoever is the biggest loser when we're doing this, that's who I buy. So I'm currently buying $5 of IOTEX.
Okay.
There you go, you see it.
29 cents per
unit. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I am going to buy $5 worth of IOTEX, which is having a terrible, terrible, horrendous day.
Rough. Oh, I like, this makes it fun.
Yeah.
Because you might end up stumbling upon some secret algorithm. Oh, damn. Look at this tank for today. Look at the graph.
Yeah, that it's going horrendously, isn't it?
Rough. Oof.
Hold on. I'm buying IOTEX with cash. 5.00. And buy. Yes.
There you go. Okay. And now... We are millionaires. Make sure you hang around next week. We're going to do this at the exact same time and figure out...
CJ, I just bought $500.
No, you didn't.
I didn't put in that. I just bought $500 worth of losing.
You know what? You might end up
being rich. I'm an idiot.
We'll find out next week.
Matt and CJ. 101X.
That tingle you feel in your nipples, men, is the fact that they are remaking one of the greatest movies of all time, Roadhouse.
Yeah! Get him, Dalton!
That's right, babies. That's right. They are in talks. Pre-production has already begun on a Roadhouse remake, which I don't... Man, that is a movie... that is it so bad it's good, or is it just damn good?
Both. Why can't it, you know, it's not mutually exclusive.
Right. I get that. There is one sticking point.
Okay, and that's the knife that the guy has on his boot?
Ooh. Nah, it's a razor blade.
Okay.
Right
type
boot.
Of knife.
Right boot.
No, it is the star that is in talks to star.
Timothy Chalamet.
Are you serious?
He's been in everything.
You
did I jump to the? You know,
it's not Timothy.
Okay,
Chalamet.
Good. I was about to say, like, damn it.
It is equally as weird. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready?
Okay,
because your life's never going to be the same after
and
I say
don't
these.
Don't say,
two.
Ladies and gentlemen. No ladies are listening.
That's
to,
true.
To
no, that's,
talk.
That's not true. I think women loved Roadhouse because Dalton was a little squeeze. Mm-hmm. You know, Patrick Swayze. Ladies love him.
He can throw kicks, take his shirt off. He's also cool and calm about it. I'm
I may
the cooler.
Have just discovered.
Oof. Okay,
Jake Oof. Gyllenhaal.
Oh yeah,
that's a little weird.
A little weird.
Yeah.
He's Jake not, Gyllenhaal.
I mean, I like him, but that's I just don't see him as Dalton.
Yeah,
it's certainly not a remake where it's going to have the same feel. I mean, Dalton. I mean, how do you?
So you're going to be more emotionally like mature and just like
Dalton was emotionally mature.
That's true. I guess. Yeah.
I know, but Dalton also
well, he looked
I
mean, hard.
Do you believe Cooler. That? Do you believe Jake Gyllenhaal as a out of work, down on his luck bouncer who's come in to save a business?
No, not at all.
Mm-mm.
But I mean, Patrick Swayze. You know, he had some less than flattering man movies where.
Yeah, but do you remember him as Dally in The Outsiders?
Yeah,
he was an awesome older brother.
That's true.
You know, I don't know. Here's one of the questions that's being posed right now. In the movie, Dalton's mentor is Wade Garrett, right? Played by who?
That'd be Sam Elliott.
That's right, Sam Elliott came in. Here's the thing, Dalton. I've been around. I've got been stabbed here. My leg doesn't work, but...
I can still kick.
I can still kick.
In real life, Sam Elliott was only 45 when he was doing that part. Sam Elliott could still play that part.
Yeah,
they could
probably.
Cast him again. Sam is 70, but he looks exactly the same.
I'm about to do the same movie all over again.
He should have a cameo in it at least, right?
Absolutely. Has to. We can't get. This time around, he plays the blind guitar player.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X. And now it's time for the Nerd Report.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Lego has officially unveiled its new 6,785-piece UCS AT-AT ahead of its Black Friday launch. Are you excited, Matt? The rumors going on for 2 years now are finally true.
Is that an AT-AT? Is that what you're talking about?
The AT-AT, yep.
Are you not supposed to call it an AT-AT?
No,
Lego people call it a...
No, you're fine.
Do people call it AT-ATs?
Doesn't matter.
I call it an AT-AT.
Okay.
How many pieces? Almost 7,000 pieces.
How big this bad boy is. Yeah, Lego Group has now officially unveiled the Star Wars USC AT-AT, showcasing it recently. It is the second largest Lego Star Wars set to date. Right there, all of it. Look how big it is in its full glory. The now legendary UCS AT-AT, like I've said, they've talked about it for a long time. It's been thought to be impossible for the Lego group to make because of its lanky legs, the structural stability issues that emerge from its iconic design, which I can tell you, having a few of these that are smaller, they fall over quite a bit. But the designers have apparently figured out a way to bring the signature Imperial vehicle into the Ultimate Collector series. You want some stats on this bad boy?
Yeah, real quick, and to preface it, because I thought that they did make an AT-AT before, and you confirmed that they just were smaller?
Yes, this
like what are the sizes that you have right now, ballpark it?
About this tall.
That'll help people that are out there in their cars. It's about, I must call it 14 inches tall.
Yeah. I just showed you. I used my hand to show
Matt. I know
Matt.
You
okay.
did.
Okay.
Idiot.
But this is the Ultimate Collector Series, which are like the Millennium Falcon. They
oh,
did
is
a couple
that
years
what ago. UCS stands for?
Yes.
Ultimate Collector
Ultimate
Series?
Ultimate Collector Series. These are the big ass sets. This one Almost 7,000 pieces. It's about 24.5 inches tall. Spans over 27 inches long.
Ladies.
Honey. Packed with the interior are a lot of areas to store minifigs for invading Hoth. It's got a cockpit that's very accurate. It's very awesome. And I do love that this set comes with a lot of minifigures, because there are ones in the past that kind of skimped on the minifigures. And if I'm spending this much money, I want some damn Lego men.
Real quick before you get to that part. Can I open that up? Can I open the back of the AT-AT up? Can I open up the head and get in there?
Look at this. You can open it all up.
Look at that.
You got little storage. You got little gun ports. You got a lot. You even
am
have
I
Luke
asking
Skywalker.
That thing doesn't walk, though, right? Am I asking for too much?
It's not electronic, but there was one back in the day. But you can, you know, use your hands. And you can make it move. Put it in different positions.
Well, no, it's not a dead grandparent. I don't want to put it in different positions around my house. I just wanted to, I didn't know if that was a battery pack I was looking at.
No, it is not. They did have an older one, I do believe, that was motorized. But the price tag on this
can
is
I
the,
can I take a
this
swipe
is the
at
big
it?
Thing.
Ultimate Collector Series.
Second largest Lego Star Wars set ever.
$495.
Bitch, it's $799.
Are you $800 for a Lego set?
So?
Lego my whatever you're yanking, because that is
so?
I'm not, who's gonna pay $800 for Lego? Oh, I'm looking at him.
You're
I just
looking
realized
at the guy right now.
I realized when I said that out loud and looking at you, you're the idiot who is going to buy it and
build
then
it, and then have sex with it.
I know that I am going to guess that 3 weeks after you get this, we are going to have show content where you're like,
Lisa's mad at me because we can't afford a something, and she's kind of upset because I spent all the money on the Lego
set. No, actually, I'm not going to get it. I'm mad at Lego because they have done nothing but come up with the same ass every year. Every year, like, I want Darth Vader's executor back. I want General Grievous's ship. I want something that they haven't done before. Or even, you know, the big ass ships we had, like the dreadnought that we had in the recent Star Wars movie.
I thought you were gonna say that you were mad at them because they sent you a letter that said "Grow the F up."
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
The newest reason to hate COVID is out, and it's a doozy, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Big, thorough study is out. And ready? COVID has killed hookup culture.
No!
Yep, hookup culture has taken a huge hit. In a recent survey, 11% of singles want to date casually. 11. That is down from like
99.
No, it was nearing 60% pre-COVID. That is an enormous, enormous drop. And here's where it gets really significant. The same study, 81% of singles, this is a study done of single Americans, 81% of single Americans say they now find sex less important than they did pre-pandemic.
Damn, that sucks. I was all about that hookup life pre-2016.
Yeah, COVID did not start in 2016.
I'm just saying, like, that was when I was all about it.
And I feel like you're just trying to make yourself a part of the story, but you were
engaged.
Then
I got in a relationship.
Yeah, you missed out on the fun anyway.
I did.
81%, that's a huge, huge number to say that you find. They're not saying that they don't find sex important. They're just saying it's less important than they did pre-pandemic.
Sounds perfect.
Good, I nailed it. Thank you, everybody. Here's another thing that's going to kind of stun you. 42% of men say they are ready to find a long-term romantic relationship. Seems not astronomically high, but 42% you usually think of men being, you ready for this one? Guess how many women, what percentage of women say they want to find a long-term romantic relationship right now?
All of them.
29% less women. Now, they do say they do not want casual hookups. They want boyfriends. but they want something steady. And it all really comes down to this. The one thing in this study that stuck out the most to the researchers was something called emotional maturity. It topped what people were looking for. Emotional maturity. I think going through all of this COVID, singles have realized...
possibly quarantined alone.
Correct.
Men realized that they were lonely without a partner. Women probably realized that they can do damn fine just on their own.
Yep. For the first time ever since they have been conducting this survey, younger singles are those who are 45 and under. Younger singles, for the first time ever, said that they rated emotional maturity over physical attractiveness.
I think that makes sense, and this is just my own brain anecdotal evidence, but if you were single and were dating during COVID, instead of going to a bar or a restaurant and drinking and feeling loose and being like, you know what, F it, inhibitions aside, you're doing a lot more writing and talking and texting, and you're doing video chats. So there's the physical stuff is pretty much out the window when you're actually having to have a conversation and keep someone digitally, which seems like it would be much more difficult to do in person over drinks.
Absolutely.
If you're having to do Zoom blind dates and first, second dates, that's... You got to have some skill to attract a partner that way.
Also, think of the amount of... if you got ghosted, but you're out with your friends all the time anyway, you can talk about it with your friends. That's weird. You're meeting somebody else. During these changed times, people are still going out, they're still seeing friends, but I noticed that we've all kind of really pared our friendship groups down to the people who are the most important. And if somebody is going to be an idiot or lead you on and then disappear, I think it shows itself much more now than it used to.
Yeah.
And that may be part of this. Huge separation. It's a huge, significant drop. 90%, the last time they did this, right before COVID, 90% of people said they were looking for someone who was attractiveness was the top thing, 90%.
Beefcake.
And that was when they conducted that. That was right after kind of the first lockdown when everyone decided, oh, this is going to be kind of like...
You mean Memorial Day weekend when everyone's like, let's get out and party. COVID's done,
exactly.
Bro.
Remember after the first 8 weeks?
And then it got bad.
Yeah, it got really bad. Everyone thought, oh, I've been locked down and let's go out and I want to put parts in my parts or on my parts or around my parts, whatever it's going to be. No, everything got a little more serious after that. So, good luck to everyone out there. I will say, this is a great time to be a dude, considering that ladies are less likely to care about the physical attractiveness. But that emotional maturity thing, well, that's going to be a big weight on a lot of us.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
48% of Americans think bearded men are better with money. LendingTree.com did a survey of 2,000 people for No Shave November to kind of figure out where the country stands on beards. And like I said, 48% of Americans think we are better with money. I don't know if that's against people without beards, because then it doesn't sound very good, or if it's also bearded ladies or non-bearded ladies or non-binary were included in that poll.
No, I think what's happening is you're proving why you're not very good with money, is you're not good with numbers. That's not a compliment. That means more people think that clean-shaven men are better with money.
If it's just between those two study groups, it doesn't say whether or not women, non-binary persons, or bearded ladies were included in the study. So that's what I don't know. But there are some other fun beard facts that also came out in this study.
You admitted earlier in this show that you were willing to spend $800 on a Lego set.
Yeah.
You have a beard.
Yeah.
That's my study.
Well, but to counter your point, kind sir, you too have an accoutrement of facial hair, and you still drive the same truck from 30 years ago, and you're good with money. So
we actually qualitatively become a zero. We cancel each other out.
There we go. hey, we've got a third beard in here. Spinny.
Spinny.
Are you good with money or bad with it?
Oof.
That explains it. There we go. Bearded men.
Let's be fair with the question.
With money.
Spenny, if you were to ever come across the money, how would you behave with it? Would you be good with it or bad with it?
I'd treat it real nice. I'd pick it up and pet it.
hold it as long as I could. Some of the other fun facts that LendingTree did in their survey, all about beards and stuff like that. This year, 46% of men will forego shaving and grow a mustache in honor of No Shave November and Movember, which is good. That was kind of a fun thing that popped around for a while and is, of course, to raise awareness for men's health. About 1 in 6 men, and I've been here, say they've argued with a significant other about facial hair or lack thereof.
Oh, like telling your girl she needs to shave that?
Yeah, you need to say the verb.
But hey, baby, your lip is out of control, sweetheart. I feel like we're going to Velcro our lips together if we try to kiss.
Man, that is something you never say. I've had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just giving guys advice out there.
By the way, even sometimes you're going to notice your lady's a little bit of a mustache out in the sun, maybe, or what I turn, and you should never even just go, no, I mean, it doesn't look bad. I didn't realize. I didn't realize how much you had. No mention at all.
Shut the F up.
Here's the deal. If it's actually coming in strong, her friends are letting her know. Because her friends will be like, oh, Betty, girl, I got to talk to you.
You got to wax that ass.
But don't ever mention it.
About the fights with significant others over facial hair, I've had a girlfriend that would get angry if I didn't have a mustache. And I've had a
somebody liked a tickle.
I've had a fiance who basically told me it was time to shave about a year ago or two years ago when I had it real long. This is not surprising because the trends of mustache and facial hair has kind of come back in the last decade or so. They're finding that men spend more money on grooming products than women. It's also more expensive to have and maintain a beard than to be clean shaven. On average, men spend $42 per month on products like razors and shaving cream.
Nope.
Women spend about $39. Men with facial hair spend a little bit more, $49 versus $35 for clean shaven guys.
No.
And of course, last but not least, men are also into self-care. Male respondents indicated they will spend more money on things like manicures, pedicures, facials, and waxing.
I don't understand those numbers. They don't make any sense to me. I don't know who they're asking. I don't spend any money on. I have the same Bic disposable, and you run it backwards a couple of times on some sandpaper, some high grit. I've had it since about 1998. Still using it. Works great.
Still going there. No, good job.
Somebody gave me one of those clipper things. Mm-hmm. A Remington Beard Boss I got for hosting something, a beard competition.
With Austin Facial Hair Club.
And Remington folks just hooked me up. It's nice. Plugs right in. Never spent any money on it. That's it. I'm not into the old
beard oils and waxes and the conditioners. Oh, I got into all that.
It's got too much smell, man. And then it's right underneath your nose.
You don't like the patchouli, man?
I don't like when my nose, when it smells like balsam, balsam is.
I was growing mine so long that I had to regularly use that stuff because it'll curl and get too poofy. It'll get itchy underneath. And when I was growing it out, I had to comb it. I had to condition it. It took a lot. Look at Spenny. He's got that nice long beard. He understands.
You use all the beard oils and stuff, Spenny?
Sometimes they call it beard butter, the stuff I use. It's sort of like a conditioner. I haven't used quite into the oils yet. That just seems kind of gross to me.
Yeah, I'll bring you. I've got a bunch that buddies from the beard community have given to me over the years.
You stupid man. How dare.
Sorry, I just dumped something off air so you didn't hear what I just said.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
No sounder today? I'm not going to play that people behaving badly sounder. CJ?
Well, this is just so sad, but sure.
Don't check out early, baby. Hey, it is time for people behaving badly, and there is something out there that's happened that's pretty bad. We told you a couple of weeks ago there were some anti-Semitic yeehaws who got up on a bridge that went across Mopac hung a bunch of dumb signs. And then about a week or so after that, someone set fire, or fire was set, in front of a congregation, Beth Israel. It's a synagogue here in town. Well, it turns out arrest has been made in that particular incident. Police were able to make that arrest. Actually, I believe it was fire investigators.
Firefighters, right? Yeah.
Fire investigators, arson investigators who were in charge of it, but they do that investigation. They were able to track down 18-year-old Franklin Sechrist because...
Oh, an 18-year-old?
They were able to track him down because he drove a car and then parked the car in front of the surveillance cameras, and they were able to get the license plate off of the cameras from the car that was parked that he drove to commit the arson.
Yeah,
so,
let's not tell these idiots how they screwed up. Let's let them keep doing it.
Well, it doesn't sound like... I don't think we're working with somebody who splits a lot of atoms there. It's not... It's being reported by some other folks. I don't have it completely confirmed yet. But it does appear to be the same gentleman. There's something called the Goyim Defense League. Do you know what goys are?
Are those like clay monsters?
No, Goyim is just it's Hebrew. It's people who are outside of Judaism.
Okay,
so you'd be a goy, right?
No, I'd be a mensch.
Well, that would be just a regular good person.
Yeah,
but
that's me.
They're calling themselves the Goyim Defense League, which is weird because if you're, I don't know, anti-Semitic, why would you use
a Goyish term?
Yeah, it doesn't even. Anyway, there was a video from that same night where somebody used gasoline to pour out a giant swastika, and then they lit it and were dancing around it. So it's really hard for this guy, I think, to argue later on, well, I didn't have a bunch of gasoline and an accelerant and use it, because then he's seen later in the video that he
clearly
posted.
Using it.
Yeah, just not smart people. But guess what? I'm super glad he's nabbed, and I hope it leads to some of the rest of these dudes being nabbed. We got a good town.
Don't mess it up. We don't want Nazis here.
Anyway, super glad that they found him and arrested him. Is 18. Do I make some consideration for that? Sure. The car was not his own. It's being reported it's somebody he lived with.
Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb. It belonged to a female. So I saw on Reddit, people were like, oh, I can't believe he drove his girlfriend's car. Can I say something? And I have zero proof of this, other than I've been on the planet for a while. I don't think he drove his girlfriend's car. He's an 18-year-old anti-Semite. It's his mom's car.
Yeah.
It's his mom's car.
101X, Matt and CJ.
Well, apparently our producer Spencer is a Pluckers trivia champion.
Well, now,
according to him, so we had him design.
According to Pluckers, excuse you.
My bad. Sorry, you won a trophy and a $100 gift card
and a kiss on the lips from a sweet girl.
Well, even better. But we asked you to put together some trivia for Veterans Day.
Yeah, put a little bit of military trivia together for you guys.
Okay, so I guess Matt and I are going to compete against each other for fortune and glory.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You guys know the drill, right? Your buzzers are your names.
Okay.
We'll start with this question first. What is the call sign of any United States Marine Corps aircraft carrying the president of the United States?
Matt.
Go ahead.
Don't remember.
CJ. Eagle Hawk.
Incorrect.
No, it's damn helicopter.
No, it's called the Marine One. Marine One is the call sign, y'all.
Yeah. Okay.
But Air Force One.
Air Force One, but Marine One is the helicopter, right? Isn't that what they fly?
Yeah. I believe so.
I like Eagle Hawk better. That's a little more patriotic.
They use it for any aircraft, to be honest, but yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
So far, it's 0-0.
I have a feeling that score may stay untouched for a while here.
CJ might know a little bit about some war history, so we'll see. The signing of the Paris Peace Accords officially ended direct U.S. involvement in which war?
The Paris? Oh, I can't talk. I gotta say my name.
Matt.
Go ahead.
I'm going to just reach out there.
Go for it.
And I'm going to say that it ended the American Revolution.
Incorrect.
CJ?
Go for it.
I will say, I guess I'll try to go obvious, World War II.
It's the Vietnam War, boys.
Ah,
has the nothing Vietnam to do with War. Son of a bitch.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. Here's a
we
fun one.
We shouldn't have done this on Veterans Day, because it's actually very disrespectful.
I'm sorry. I can pivot to something else quickly.
I'm very mad now.
In 1952, the United States Air Force created Project Blue Book to study what?
CJ. UFOs.
That is correct, CJ. Wow.
Wait. That's not really military history. He's excited because he knows about UFOs.
Yeah, yeah. That's still, I mean, that's the future.
This is history.
Space
man.
Force.
This is history. Come on. All right. Let me see if I can find some interesting ones here. Oh. Oh. What does ASVAB stand for?
CJ.
Go for it.
It's a test you take to enter the military.
That is not what it stands for.
It's not
for.
The acronym. ASVAB.
It is the American
Scientific.
No,
don't
it's Matt's turn. You got it wrong.
I didn't guess yet. I was just saying, I was explaining to listeners what the ASVAB is. Surprisingly, I scored very high on this.
Sure you did.
I can't think of what it is. No, let me tell you what happens when you make a good score on that at a high school. Recruiters never stop calling you and coming to your door.
Oh, my God. They so it's do not. Good thing.
Matt, what does ASVAB stand for?
Armed Services Vocational. I'll say Vocational Aptitude Battery Tests.
Wow.
Did he get
that
it?
That is absolutely
nice.
Correct.
Oh, tie
game.
1-1, baby.
Good
1-1.
Job.
Damn, how much time we got? We might need a tiebreaker coming up in
it's
a bit.
It's okay.
Man, I did really well on that test, and I made a new best friend in high school. That
seriously,
recruiter,
right?
Attached to my hip. And I was just like, dude, have you seen my 3-inch biceps? I am not going.
You could have been a radio operator.
You don't want me there, dude.
They can find you any job in the Army.
I would have ruined our military.
You'd make a great yeoman.
I would have been a yeoman.
The profile of General George Washington appears on what United States military decoration?
Matt. Purple Heart.
Correct. Oh. Matt, taking the lead.
Damn.
Right.
I always thought that was a lady, like an old lady. It was like long hair. I thought that was Florence Nightingale or something, because she comes and takes care of you after you get hurt.
Oh, man. Oh, man. This one might be. So what is the acronym for the Intergovernmental Military Alliance based on the North Atlantic Treaty?
CJ. Go NATO. CJ.
That's correct.
All right. And we tied.
We just get to the tiebreaker.
End of the game.
It's over.
Look, our egos can only handle a tie. It's right at the top of the hour.
Out of time, and everyone wins, especially those of you who served our country. We salute you. Just Matt and CJ, both equals.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Rivian had their big IPO release. If you're not familiar, this is a badass electric truck company, and they could change the whole electric vehicle game. Weird or Wired, folks. That's where I go and search the internet for tech stories and let you know, is it weird? Or is it Wired? Are you familiar with the Rivian? Have you seen the Rivian?
No, I know nothing about it.
The Rivian is a badass-looking truck. It is really, really capable, off-road capable as well. There have been sightings out in public and a lot of Facebook groups I belong to, off-roading, camping, overlanding, stuff like that. When they would spot it, people would get underneath them, start taking pictures, and then security guards would attack them.
Get out of here!
It's highly capable, but also the amount of funding, huge amounts of funding already from Amazon.com, and in fact...
Ooh, Bezos going head-to-head with Musk!
Oh, absolutely, and you should know this, too. Rivian has already sold a huge amount of delivery trucks to Amazon. Amazon is going to make a fleet. You know, you see there are delivery vehicles all around the city.
All day, every day at your wife and my fiance's front door.
Exactly. And they've already bought a huge fleet of these trucks from Rivian. So they already have something to deliver in a hurry. Also investing heavily, Ford Motor Company. So they're able to share a lot of intellectual
technology and whatnot.
Exactly. They just went public, and in their public offering, it's the biggest globally this year. It's the sixth largest launch ever on a U.S. exchange. That's pretty enormous. In fact,
Wow, those trucks actually look cool.
They don't they?
Yeah, they look like a truck. They don't look like whatever the weird angled Tesla crap
was. Now look at the Rivian SUV. Because it doesn't have a big motor in it, it has so much extra storage. And if you go back to that truck, you should see the area that slides out for camping where you can put gear and a stove and stuff. It is amazeballs. I've been watching them develop this thing for the last probably 7 years.
Man, I can't look at this. I'm just going to get pissed.
You don't get pissed. This thing, they're going to be available starting at like 65 grand.
Oh, cool. Yeah, man. Oh, I can afford that.
Which is the price really for any kind of like higher end F-150 or something like that.
Yeah.
I will say I went online today to build mine. You know, build yours.
Yeah. Add the pop-up tent.
Add whatever you want.
The grill guard.
Can I say that starts at 65 quickly becomes finishes at 90?
Yeah. No doubt about that.
Anyway, they're going to be bringing a lot of new technology. Plus, because this is going to be slightly more consumer friendly than something like the Tesla and a lot of the high end performance vehicles that we've been seeing as electric EVs, I really think it's going to open up that whole market.
You know,
we're getting ready to see an EV Ford F-150.
Yeah.
There supposedly is a Ram Dakota that will be hitting the streets probably in the next year and a half. And as that technology increases, we'll be able to see things, you know, where people have things like range anxiety, whatever. I think we'll start to see bigger and bigger ranges. We'll see better and better batteries and better capabilities. Plus, the prices will start to come down.
Because as that guy that likes to roll coal will say, yeah, but them batteries pollute worse and they're conflict minerals in the middle and they only last for half a year.
I know that people will fight it, but this thing, if you watch it, I think this thing is really cool and I would love to take a trip in one. People say, well, how do you do any overlanding in them? I've already heard about people kind of changing some solar packs and some generators to be able to eke out some occasional more miles and stuff out of them. But I think they're really cool. Anyway, the biggest thing.
Is it wired or weird?
I say, for me, it's wired.
Hell yeah.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
The pool is gone.
The pool is gone.
The pool is gone.
I don't know what pool you speak of.
The pool is gone.
The pool is gone.
Okay, I don't know if you remember earlier in the week we talked about people's pandemic purchases they regret. And one of the things that made the list were swimming pools.
Right.
Because they were so hard to come by.
Right.
But a lot of people bought them. I know you and your wife had a pool and a sauna that you got a lot of use out of, but later bursted and, you know, kind of just went the way of the dodo.
It was a trash purchase as my wife made, and I wasn't gonna put my foot down or fight about it because I didn't care enough about it. But you spotted a pool here in the office that you wanted to steal, but you said it would be a bad idea for me to steal this from work. Even though you thought you could have gotten away with it, it was a really nice pool with
a
pump and everything.
It was a huge pool. Two pumps, filtration system. I mean, it's obviously one of those stand-up backyard pools. I even started prepping my property by kind of digging and leveling an area out to get sand put around it.
And you brought it up because you thought it was one of those things that was given to the company as a giveaway. Then whatever giveaway was supposed to be a part of fell through. Someone never picked it up, whatever it was.
It's set in a prize closet for years.
Years.
And I was just like, well, I'm going to take it. But then, you know, my fiance's like, no, we're not going to have a damn pool in the backyard of our rental house. And I was like, but the yard there's already dead. They wouldn't even know. That idea got kiboshed. Plus, I had a vision of me wheeling out a giant pool on a dolly and Chuck, our engineer, having to take the security footage upstairs to management as to why I'm being fired for stealing a pool during the pandemic. And I kind of got to thinking. I was like, I don't think I'd be fired for that. And so I came into work and was like, I think I'm going to take this pool home. I'm going to take this pool home. It's warm outside, even during the winter. I'm going to take this pool home. Went into the prize closet where I had to first, you know, take the keys out of Momo's desk. unlocked it, and the pool wasn't in there. And I was like, oh, well, duh, because that's where we're storing all the beer for the tailgates, our 101X sessions upstairs, the listener parties. We had to move the pool because there's nothing but beer in the prize closet. So I went to our sheds outside. Shed number one, all the tailgate stuff. Oh, yeah, duh, the games, the stools, the benches, the coolers. Shed number two, no pool. The pool's gone. Someone, some crafty piece of at work beat me to the pool.
Wow.
Unless that listener picked it up, but still.
No, I think what probably what
happened.
My
pool's gone.
I think somebody in this building has what you lack, which is the motivation to get S done. And they said, yeah, so what? I don't care if somebody sees me dolling this.
Stealing this pool.
And they just went and did it. And you are somebody who has politely waited his turn and done what's right. And that's why you're stuck with me, a two-time loser,
on this
on
show.
An afternoon show.
Well, you've never been busted at work on the security cameras, whereas I have several times.
That is true.
During the pandemic a couple of years ago, when I used to live right across the street from the radio station, not that long ago, I walked up here one Sunday to do some work, and I was drinking a soda water. No, I was drinking a Red Bull out of the fridge because I had to do some stuff. And I was like, man, I'd love some vodka for this. And I was like, well, it's Sunday. Liquor store's closed. And then I remember our coworker James has a couple bottles of unopened stuff at his desk. And I was like, oh, I'll just go grab some vodka from James.
He won't care.
Turns out I put a bigger dent than I thought. And on Monday, he was like bitching. I was going to buy it and replace it. I just hadn't got to work yet. And he goes, who the hell drank this? He noticed it right away. And I get to work and our engineer Chuck goes, hey, CJ, can I talk to you real quick, man?
Oh, God.
And pulls me in
and
has the footage pulled up on his computer of me walking to the desk, opening it, pouring it, walking away. An hour later, walking back to the desk, open it, pouring it.
15 minutes later, 5 minutes later. Two seconds later.
Walking back to the desk, open it, pouring it. Well, someone has that pool and I'm pissed because apparently I wasn't the only one with eyes on it.
Knowing you, you've already gone to Chuck and asked him if he ever saw, right?
I'm going to check security cameras very soon.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
You got something?
Yeah, big old junk.
Quit popping the mic when I'm talking to you.
I'm sorry, when the song's ending, I'm turning it on so we can talk.
Well, do you got something?
I was just saying I'm debating on how to cook this steak I've been sitting on for a couple of days.
Well, that is not how to tenderize it, my friend.
I thought so. give it a little bit of extra garlic flavor.
Have you noticed all this week that as we've gotten tired in the evening, I'm working doubles?
We get goofier.
Yeah, I'm working doubles right now, and I've been losing my S by the end of the show, and we've just gotten so stupid. I mean, we're going to get notes.
We've been off air, pulling back the curtains. We meet with, bosses and consultants regularly, and they've basically said, hey, a lot of people listen to that 6 o'clock hour, and you guys sound like you're just half-assing and trying to get through it.
Nah, we sound like we're having fun finally in the day. This is us naturally. Do us a favor if you listen during these hours. Keep the radio tuned so we don't get in trouble.
Yes, please.
I got to get you back on track.
Yeah.
You got a steak at the house, and you're gonna go home.
I got some fresh rosemary. I got some of that nice Irish butter. And what I was going to do was just get the cast iron super hot.
Hell yeah.
Season it, and do the just keep flipping method.
Hell yeah.
Every 20, 30 seconds, you
Hell
flip
yeah.
the steak, and then you sit there and continually douse it with the Irish butter and have the rosemary kind of just cooking with it. But now I'm like, man, I want to go home and start a fire, start my grill. And you know how long it takes to get the charcoal hot to do this method.
Are you out of your mind? It's a Thursday. It's 6:30.
Yeah. I want to fire up the grill. And you said, you eat this late?
Yeah. Well, here's what I don't get. If you go home right now and you start coals, I mean, you're not putting a steak on until what? 8:30?
Yeah.
You can eat that. What time do you go to bed? Oh, I just figured it out. You don't have to be up at 5 a.m., do you?
No. If I'm up at 5 a.m., it's because I'm still
going to sleep yet?
I'm still in the living room playing Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead Redemption. I still live that life.
I've been up at 5 all this week. I'm subbing in for Jason on the Morning X.
Yeah.
And tomorrow will be the last day. And I've had a blast. Great crew. I'm glad tomorrow's the last day. Double days are quite a bit. But even then, because I got little kids, I mean, 6 maybe is as late as I get to sleep in generally on a morning. But I forget that you're still living that life where you sometimes maybe aren't cracking your eyes open until 10 in the morning.
If by 10 you mean like 1 p.m., then yeah. Dude,
Don't you have to be in here earlier for digital meetings and stuff?
Yeah, sometimes, but I'm no longer the director. That's now on our buddy Dylan, who's, you know, our behind-the-scenes video guy and everything like that. But
So you have lesser concerns there?
I have less responsibilities now.
Damn.
And I told you my method. I wake up as my fiance's getting ready for work because I can't sleep anyways. I'll usually take the dogs out, get back in bed. I scroll through my emails. I check social media. I see what I need to do real quick. And then I go back to bed if I don't have anything to do.
You know what?
It's great. Here's and then I wake up, clean house, listen to music.
Here's how you should sell it. You should say, hey, look, I'm so efficient that I get my first nap of the day in before most people
before
even
most
get out the door.
Before they're even at work, yeah.
Well,
it's very true.
I don't even think I could do a steak this late. I mean, because I used to do all the cooking for years while I had a morning show, and then I was home.
Yeah, you're home by 10 o'clock.
And then now for the last year and a half, as I've moved to afternoons, you know, my wife's been doing a lot more. That's fallen on her shoulders. But my kids are sitting around. My kids are ready to eat. My kids are ready to eat by like 5 because they got trained to eat early. Mm-hmm. So now they're having to, because this show's going later than any of the afternoon shows I've ever done. They literally are just sitting there. And a lot of times they just eat without me. I get home and there's always like a guilty look on the family's faces. Do you know what I mean? Because we always eat dinner together. And there are some evenings when I come through the door and all three people look at me like the Simpsons on the couch. You know what I mean? And they look at me and I go, oh, did you guys eat already? And they're like, we're going to eat dessert. Yeah. Like, it's fine. It's fine. You're not in trouble. Man. Do what you got to do.
It's in a way, it's almost we're victims of our own success because the show was only supposed to go to like 5:40.
I know.
Hey, hang around till 7 o'clock.
It's fun. Hey, a lot of you have been reaching out to us via phones, via internets, whatever, giving us...
You.
No, you've been very complimentary and we appreciate it. I think this is right at the end of 2 months for us.
Whew. Yeah.
Seems a lot longer.
Yeah, we...
You're brutal to work
legally,
with.
We can no longer abort this show in the state of Texas.
God, I hate when you make jokes like that.
Sorry. Just Matt and CJ, find us on the podcast and social media, and thanks for letting us have fun every day right here, 101X.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 3 to 6, 101X.